Get back to my title, not taken for granted. That's the thing that I've learned during this time of quarantine. And so the word not taken for granted actually means to expect someone or something to be always available to serve in some way without thanks or recognition, to value someone or something too lightly. And I'm just going to go down just a short list that I made of things that I am thankful for, that I have, that I've realized during this time of quarantine, that I don't tell them enough, and that I've also have taken for granted. And the first one is my wife, Jada, and she's watching online today. And my wife is awesome. She's beautiful on the inside and on the outside. She takes care of me. She takes care of Taya. She takes care of Jarek. She's an awesome wife, an awesome mother, an awesome Nana. She's Nana. She's not grandma. She's Nana. That's a young grandma. That's what that means. And but she's a blessing to our family. And there was a time during this quarantine, I can't really remember when, but Taya looked over at me one time and said, "Dad, you're spoiled because of Jada, because of her mama." And it's so neat. Taya's 25, and she's just now starting to notice, you know, really what her mom has done her whole life for her and for our family. And I said, "No, I'm not spoiled. I'm blessed and highly favored." Amen. I've got to. And so, you know, just the little things, guys. Like this morning, Jada knew that I was going to be. She has, you know, staying home to keep the numbers down and all that. So she's online. And so last night before she went to bed, and we had a full day yesterday. We had family over. We had the Page family over, all them, and just had a cookout and did all kinds of stuff. And so it was a busy day. But that night before she went to bed, she had made me overnight oats so that I could have oats this morning. Now, I know that's everybody's looking at me like, "Wow, okay, Mark, you need to stop." But she made those for me for this morning so that I could have oats this morning before I came to church, so I'd have fuel for my body. Those are the little bitty things, guys, and I appreciate that. All I had to do, see, it's real simple. All I had to do is pop them in the microwave, heat them up, and I had oats this morning. And it had blueberries in it and cranberries. It was good. All right, and healthy for me. And my family, I cannot tell you, you know, so thankful for my daughter, for my son-in-law, my son-in-love, my grandson. You know, when I see Jarek now, it's hard to believe, guys, he's going to be turning one June the 3rd. He's 11 months today. And so one of the things, we kind of got this deal between him and I, when I see him, I think, I hate to even say where I got this phrase at, but I think it was off Tommy Boy, Chris Farley, when I see him, I go, "My buddy, my pal, my amigo." And he just starts smiling. It's like, "There's Poppy." And so I'm so thankful for my family. I'm thankful for my church family. A lot of them are sitting in here. A lot of them are online this morning. But I'm so appreciative for Mark and Dusty for filling the pulpit while this has all been going on. They've done an awesome job. Give them another hand clap. Yes, thank you guys. They're two of the guys in our church that have expressed interest in, you know, bringing the gospel, bringing the messages. And so there's no better way to learn than dunk and dump. Let you have it and go at it. And that, now they've realized how hard it really is. It's not, "Oh, yeah, pastor gets to get up and just talk on Sunday morning." No, there's a little bit more involved in just that. But I so appreciate them bringing the messages. Also, the praise team, Luke and Brooke and Parker and even Grace. Grace has been running around here doing some little errands, I've noticed. Patricia and Jennifer Hawkins, thank you guys so much for all you do. Also, Travis Bourne, who does a lot behind the scenes. Even though he's not here, he gets us set up on Facebook Live and our podcast and all that. So, guys, thank you. Can't say it enough. Thank you very much. And I realize a lot of times I don't say that enough, and I take a lot of things for granted. One of the things I did, a lot of you know this, I'm also, you know, work with Moxie Realty as a real estate agent, and I'd asked our agents, I asked them to do something for me, because I said, I'm preparing my message for this Sunday. I said, "Tell me some things that you've learned during the quarantine." And Amy Robbins, my broker, responded, and she told me these are the things that she's learned. She said, I've enjoyed spending so much time as a family unit. We've always been on the go. And she has two kids that are always on the go, a girl, a son, and a daughter. It's so nice to eat meals together, play together, work together, and not have a specific schedule to meet. I've heard that a lot from lots of different people. I've heard that from Mark and Carrie here about the, you know, just being able to be together as a family. Number two, I've been forced to be domestic, and I've enjoyed it. I've gotten my house into pretty great order. She's been cleaning the house. Number three, I miss seeing all of you very much, and I'm really going to appreciate our meeting time together again. I'm missing my Sunday school class a ton, too. I was talking to Jennifer Hawkins this morning. We were talking about we're just missing church, just missing seeing everybody. You don't realize until you have to go through something like this how much strength you draw from one another without even saying a word. Just seeing Jennifer, seeing, you know, just seeing you guys. We may not even get to talk, but just seeing you, you know, we may not even get to shake hands or hug, but just seeing you, we just draw strength from one another. Here's another thing that she said that I thought was very interesting. She goes, I've realized how dependent we are as America on other countries, and that scares me. That's something I'm going to put out there. Number five, we can adapt with our business, which is real estate, and still function, which I'm super grateful and thankful for. So that was some of the things that she had said. And so that was one person's response outside of my own. And I just want to say this. Not one of them, I want you to think about this, not one of those things has to do with things and stuff. It's basically all about relationships. And so so don't take anything for granted. And that's what I'm going to get into this message today and talk about one word not taken for granted, or another word is thankfulness, being thankful. As a disciple of Jesus Christ, we need to be thankful. Amen. That's what we just did during praise and worship, is we gave thanks to God for all of his goodness. You may, and I know some of you in here are going through stuff, going through some things, but we still have to give thanks. Amen? Amen. We still, you know, because not life is just not all peachy king sometimes, and but we still have to give thanks unto God. Now, I'm read a couple of studies that I came across this week. Two psychologists, Michael McCullough of Southern Methodist University in Dallas, Texas, and Robert Emmons of the University of California at Davis, wrote an article about an experiment they conducted on thankfulness and its impact on our well-being. Dr. Robert Emmons says this, a practice of thankfulness raises your happiness set point so you can remain at a higher level of happiness regardless of outside circumstances. Thought that was very interesting. A practice of thankfulness raises your happiness set point so you can remain at a higher level of happiness regardless of outside circumstances. Another lady, her first name is Sonia. I'm going to mispronounce her last name. This is what it looks like. Lyubomirsky. Okay, now hard word. Professor of psychology at the University of California, author of The How of Happiness, a book of strategies backed by scientific research that can be used to increase happiness. And this is what she said. One characteristic of the happiest people is that they are comfortable expressing thankfulness for all that they have. I thought that was very interesting. All right. Luke chapter 17, verses 11 through 19. This is the story that Miss Carrie just read about the 10 lepers. And we're going to read it again. Read now the New King James Version today. And it says, now it happened as he went to Jerusalem, this is talking about Jesus, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Then as he entered a certain village, and by the way, it's not just Jesus, his disciples are with him. Verse 12 says, then as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers who stood afar off. Okay, the reason why they were afar off, you need to read the book of Leviticus. It tells you there that because they had leprosy, they had to be outside of the city. They had to basically social distance. All right, this is social distancing. Some people think that's a new word. Really, it's not. It's a biblical word. That was in the Old Testament, an Old Testament law in Leviticus. This was going on in Jesus' day. They stood afar off. By the way, when I was studying this out, I did a little rabbit trail and started studying about leprosy. It's basically a skin disease, and I could talk a lot about that, but it just bore you, and so I had to cut all that stuff out. I just kind of took a rabbit trail and studied about leprosy. But one of the things that jumped off the page at me when I was studying about leprosy, in the biblical times, in the Old Testament, they would let some of these lepers come into town to go to the synagogue on Saturday to worship God. But there were strict rules when they came in. You know, they had to stay away from people. They had their own little place where they sat at in the synagogue and all those things. And they said how they had to social distance when they came into town for worship was they had to be 4 cubits from somebody. And guess how far that is? 6 feet. That is 6 feet. And so that's where that comes from, the social distancing. All right, that's just a little rabbit trail I thought you might find interesting, okay? That's where the 6 feet comes from, is from the Bible. So they stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." So when he saw them, he said to them, "Go show yourselves to the priests." He doesn't tell them what's going to happen. He just says, "Go show yourselves to the priest." And so it was. As they went, they were cleansed. All right, I want you to just think about that. When he said, "Go show yourself to the priest," in the law, in the book of Leviticus, they went to the priest when they thought that they were healed, when they thought leprosy was over. Okay, these ten still had leprosy, and they're looking at Jesus, going, "Do what? We're not healed yet." Jesus is like, "No, go, just go, get out of here, go." And so they go, and they were cleansed as they went. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned, and with a loud voice, 1 out of 10, 10%, with a loud voice, glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. So Jesus answered and said, "Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well." And verse 14 is what I want to highlight in this passage, where Jesus says, "So when he saw them, he said to them, 'Go show yourselves to the priest.' And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed." And I'm going to tell you, I know there's many people in here, even in this room today. There's people that are watching on Facebook Live today. Many of us need a miracle. It could be a financial miracle. It could, I don't know what it's going on, whatever this quarantine, this COVID-19 has caused. I've heard lots of people saying, "Pastor, I need a miracle. I need this to happen in this or in my business," or whatever it is. And what I want to encourage you with this is this: acts of obedience produce miracles. They had to obey first. Acts of obedience produce miracles. I heard a story when I was studying for this about a carpenter, and I just feel like somebody out there in Facebook world needs to hear this. He was a carpenter by trade, but he had no work. Nothing was going on. You know, he'd put his shingle out there, nothing's happening. And he was a Christian, and he was praying about over his carpentry business, "Lord, I need work. Lord, I need work. Lord, I need work. Lord, I need work." You know, that kind of that complaining kind of prayer, you know, "Lord," you know, whining and self-pity and all that. And he said, while he was praying one morning, he said, "I got the impression, I felt the Holy Spirit speak to my heart. I got this impression," and he goes, it sounded nuts at the time, but he said, "I got this impression that the Holy Spirit was speaking to me, go make a sawhorse." And he said, "But specifically, go out in your front yard and make a sawhorse." So he said, this is crazy. I don't have no work, but so I'm going to go out here and make a sawhorse and look like an idiot today. So he says, I get the lumber and everything that I need to go make my sawhorses. And he goes, I go out in the front yard. He goes, "I'm making the sawhorse." He goes, "I'm just about done making the sawhorse." And he says, somebody drives by my house and stops and said, "Hey," or shouted from their vehicle, "Hey, are you a carpenter?" He said, "Yeah." He said, "Come with me. I got a job I want you to look at and do for me." And he said, from that day forward, ever since that day when I went out in my front yard and made a sawhorse, I've never lacked work. But I had to do something. The obedience led to that. While I was studying this, I know my mom is watching, okay, so I'm going to give a shout-out to my mom, Joyce. My mom, some of you don't know this, but she had one hip surgery done last year. She's needing the other hip surgery done now. She's almost immobile, all right? And the doctors prepared her for it, said, "You're going to have to," but this COVID-19 paused the surgeries, right? And so my mom's on a list to be, you know, called to have the surgery, and she's ready to have the surgery. She's like chomping at the bit. I know my mom, she don't want to stay down. And so I felt when I was staying this, and I felt that I need to make this public and tell my mama in public and with the 10 that are sitting here today, or the 9 others beside myself, Mom has done everything that she's supposed to do by faith. She has, she's made her doctor's appointments. She's called and said, put me on the list in case somebody doesn't show up for surgery because I want to get slid in there first, you know. And so this is what I felt like, Mom, when I was studying this, I felt like I need to tell you to go ahead and pack your bags. If you haven't gotten, pack them. Go ahead and pack them. I know it sounds crazy, pack them, because I believe you're fixing to get a call to get your surgery done. So that's for my mama this morning. All right, so here's what, so go back to verse 14. It was as they went, Jesus said, go show yourself to the priest, which was in the Bible, which was the law, which was Leviticus. And then he said, as they went, they were healed. So what produced the miracle? Verse 14 tells us obedience. Obedience produced a miracle. The miracle then produced thankfulness in one of them, and that thankfulness produced praise and worship unto God. But the main lesson that I want us all to learn in this passage today is, you know, a lot of, when I was studying about a lot of commentaries, you know, it was talking about faith, you know, and faith, and I understand that to a certain degree. But I was looking a little bit deeper, and I was like, no, this really, to be honest with you, this isn't a lesson of faith. It's a lesson of obedience. It's about obeying what God tells you to do, and then all of a sudden, here comes the faith. You know, then that's that God does what he does. And so I want us to read, and I've always taught you guys, let's let Bible interpret Bible. And so we're going to go up, and we're going to look at what produced the miracle. Verse 14 tells us obedience. Obedience produced a miracle. You can tell I haven't preached in a couple weeks because I'm not paying attention to my PowerPoint. The miracle produced thankfulness. Thankfulness produced praise and worship. And the main lesson in this passage is obedience. All right. Now we're going to let Bible interpret Bible. So we're going to go back up in Luke chapter 17, and we're going to go to verse 1. And so we're going to tie these two. This all goes together, even though, you know, our scriptures are separated by chapters and verses are separated by numbers and all that. It all goes together, all right? So this is, we're going to learn about obedience today, and this is really good. It says, then he said to the disciples, it is impossible that no offenses should come, but woe to him through whom they do come. All right, so now he's talking about unforgiveness as he's starting out here. He says, it would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were thrown into the sea than that he should offend one of these little ones. Basically, what that means is this: is when you're carrying around offenses and unforgiveness, you're going to hurt a lot of people around you, your children, your kids, people you work with, family. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. Number three, verse three says, "Take heed to yourselves. If your brother sins against you, you rebuke him, and if he repents, forgive him." Means, you know. You know, talk it out. Get things out in the open. Quit hiding things under the rug. You know, don't let offenses fester and all those kind of things. Talk about things. And be open to, you may be in the wrong. 90% of the time, you are too. I'll just say that. I've learned that the hard way. You know, we can all learn things about ourselves. And it says, and if he sins against you, this, you know, and so the disciples, I want you to get, we're going to get in the disciples. They're hearing this. They're like, okay, I can forgive somebody, you know. If they mess with me one time, I can mess with them. I'm sure they're over there listening to Jesus going, yeah, we can handle that, Jesus. Verse 4 says, this is Jesus still speaking. He says, and if he sins against you seven times in a day, and seven times in a day returns to you saying, I repent, you shall forgive him. And the apostle said, Lord, increase our faith. That ain't happening, God. I'm sorry. They screw up seven times. I'm kicking them out of the family. In verse... Verse 6 says, so the Lord said, so this is what the Lord says. He flips his script. He says, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you can say this mulberry tree be pulled up by the roots and be planted in the sea, and it would obey you. And which of you, now he goes into another little teaching, Jesus, he's teaching them all kinds of truth here, guys. He says, and which of you having a servant plowing or tending sheep will say to him when he has come in from the field, come at once and sit down to eat? But will he not rather say to him, prepare something for my supper and gird yourself and serve me till I have eaten and drunk, and afterward you will eat and drink? Does he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? Everybody say commanded. He says, so right now what we're learning is a disciple of Jesus Christ, you get saved, you know Jesus is Savior. But as you start walking with him, you're, and being his disciple, you're going to start learning that he is Lord and that he is Master, all right? And so this is not a suggestion. This is a commandment. Verse 9, he says, does he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I think not. And he says, so likewise you, when you have done all those things which you are commanded, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done what was our duty to do. Then we just picked up in verse 11 what I just read you. And what Jesus is basically summing up right here, he says, you don't need faith, you need obedience. That's what he's saying. You don't need faith to forgive people, you need obedience. Forgiving people is a commandment. It's not a faith issue. It's a commandment. And so then he goes right into healing the lepers. And when they left and that one come back and was healed, Jesus was like, see, you don't need faith, you need obedience. Obedience produces the miracles. So everybody see how that all ties in together? All right, so now I'm going to give you, if you're taking notes today, and I know Grace is here and Grace takes impeccable notes, I'm going to give you six things, and she's like, I don't have no paper. No, I'm just kidding. She takes them on her. You do. Look at her. She comes every Sunday with her notepad. All right. So I'm going to give you six takeaways about thankfulness that we've learned from this passage here and that we can glean from it. But I want to share this story. One of the things as a disciple that you're going to have to learn is how to be thankful. Just like when you were a little kid, a little child, your parents taught you how to say thank you. Amen? All right. Now, when they said, you know, say thank you, you know, say thank you, say thank you. And then when your child starts saying thank you on their own, OMG. As a parent, I want you to think about it as a parent. When they start saying thank you on their own, that's when your heart even opens up more and you just release blessings all over them. Am I right, parents? All right. But when they're unthankful, things are kind of held back. You know, we're not being so generous, and we're still trying to teach our kids lessons. Here's what I believe. I believe the Lord, and it doesn't matter what age you are, I as a disciple of Jesus Christ, the Lord is trying to teach his kids how to be thankful. And when we're thankful and we don't live in this entitlement mentality, when we're thankful, God releases more blessings when we're thankful. So this is what we're going to learn, these six takeaways about thankfulness. Number one is being thankful is never invisible. Okay? No expression is a heart problem. You have no expression of being thankful, then, you know, it's like, oh, I thank my parents from my heart. Okay, Luke 6:45, for out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. You need to voice that to your parents without them telling you to. And all the, I'm talking to this row right over here. You know, it doesn't matter what age either, guys. I'm 50 years old, and I'm still learning things that my mom did and my dad did for me growing up, lessons that I've learned and telling them thanks. Thanks, Mom. Thanks, Dad. They're watching today for, you know, teaching me about life and teaching me how to say thank you. I'm telling you guys, saying thank you goes a long way. One of the things I can remember, I'm just using a business example. Years ago, I used to do real estate appraisals, and there was a new mortgage company that opened up in Weatherford. They're not there anymore, but this is when I lived in Elk City. And I just walked in one day and introduced myself and gave my business card and said, hey, you know, I'd like to start doing some real estate appraisals over here in Weatherford. If you ever need an appraiser, let me know. Well, they ended up calling me about a few weeks later, and I went and did an appraisal for them. And after I did the appraisal, I sent them a short little thank you note, handwritten thank you note, telling them thank you for your business. And that guy called the next time I did an appraisal for him, he called me in his office and he said, Mark, you're going to have my business from now on. And I said, well, thank you. You know, and he said, and I'm going to tell you why. He said, you're the only person or only appraiser that I've ever had that sat down and took the time to write me a thank you note. And that really blessed my heart. I'm telling you guys, being thankful opens up the doors of opportunity. And being thankful is never invisible. It's not just you've got to speak it out, all right, even being thankful to God. Okay, here's number two. Number two is being thankful sustains joy and blessings. It sustains it. even during the down times when things aren't going your way and it doesn't look like things are looking up, even like during this time of quarantine and stuff, being thankful sustains joy and blessings. If you allow yourself this to come in, unforgiveness and bitterness repeats the offense. Thanksgiving in everything repeats and accelerates joy and blessings. I'm telling you guys, it's being thankful is a powerful thing. I know this is very simple, what I'm teaching today, but this has been a revelation to me that's been going off. And I haven't been thankful enough, I'll be honest with you. I've taken a lot of things for granted. Just, you know, I'm an American. I live in a great nation. And just being, you know, not being thankful for even that. And, guys, we've got to be thankful. Number three is being thankful begins where the sense of entitlement ends. We've got to get that out of the body of Christ. Guys, it's running rampant in our society today, this entitlement thing. And that is not being thankful. Being thankful begins where the sense of entitlement ends. Your sense of thankfulness ends where entitlement begins. You cannot be thankful for something you feel entitled to. You just can't. Failure to give thanks is at the root of the fall of man. Now, I want you to think about this. The failure to give thanks is at the root of the fall of man. And basically what the enemy came in and lied to Adam and Eve, it wasn't just Eve, okay? Don't just blame Eve. It was Adam and Eve because they were one in the garden. And they bought the lie from the enemy, is this all that there is? And they had it all, guys. They had it all, but they weren't thankful for it. And that's what caused the fall of man. Everybody learning something today? All right, here's number four. Thankful people can always find and enlarge blessings. Like I said, sometimes it's easier said than done, I know, when you're going through things. But thankful people can always find and enlarge blessings because you're blessed, I promise. My situation doesn't have to improve for my thankfulness to increase. Okay, remember that. God, that's huge. Your situation, nothing has, it may even go backwards, your situation, but your thankfulness needs to increase and always be there. Psalm 67, verses 5 through 6, I want you to think about this. May the nations praise you, O God. Yes, may all the nations praise you. Then the earth will yield its harvest, and God, our God, will richly bless us. I'm going to teach you something here that I had learned from the Old Testament. When you see the word nation, when you even see it in the New Testament too, that word nation for us as a believer means mentality, okay? So let's look at that again. May the mentality, your mentality, praise God. Yes, may all of your mental faculties praise Him. Then, when you start being a thankful person, then the earth will yield its harvest, and God, our God, will richly bless us. You may be holding, I'm just going to say this, you may be, and I'm talking to myself too, we may be holding up blessings because we're unthankful, and we need to be thankful. That's what that's saying. And thankful people can find and enlarge blessings. All right, here's number five. Number five, thankfulness increases favor and creates opportunities. And I want you to think about the story in the Bible of Joseph. When we read the story of Joseph in the book of Genesis, there's not one time in there, there may be a hint of something one time, but there's never, you don't never see God writing about Moses when Moses wrote the first five books of the Bible. There's never a time where you see Joseph complaining and saying negative things about what all he was going through. And gosh, if anybody could say it was him, he was falsely accused, all kinds of stuff. And because he kept his mouth shut and kept his focus, and I believe he was a thankful man, he went from the prison to the palace in one day, in God's timing. And in Psalms 50, verse 23, it says, who brings an offering of praise and thanksgiving honors and glorifies me. Sometimes, guys, when you're going through stuff in life and you come to church on a Sunday morning, sometimes, you know, the Bible even talks about a sacrifice of praise. Sometimes it's a sacrifice because you don't feel thankful. But I'm hoping you're realizing that thankfulness has nothing to do with feelings or the situations you're going through. Thankfulness is a command as a child of God. We have so much to be thankful for. Amen? If the only thing you can come to church and say, I'm thankful for my salvation, well, that's enough. You know, think about it. My gosh, we've been saved from death, hell, and the grave. And I've been there, guys. I've been through situations where I just did not. It was hard for. But you don't do it. You don't thank God by faith. You thank Him because it's what we're supposed. I mean, it's an obedience issue. I hope you're getting that. That it's a. A lot of times people think, well, I've got to feel it to do it. No, you don't. You've just got to do it. It's a command. And he who orders his way aright, he who prepares the way that I may show him, to him I will demonstrate the salvation of God. Okay, that's number five. Now, here's number six. And this is a big one, guys. All these are big, all right? And I hope you're learning something about being thankful. I know this is just a real simple message about being thankful. But this is something that has been the Lord's been speaking to me through this whole time of quarantine, just showing me little bitty things, you know, like I started off this morning, just not even thanking Jada for making me oats in the morning, okay? I know that sound, but I'm talking being thankful for all the small things that your family does for you when you see people serving and giving and all those things. And here's number six, and this will get you to get saying thanks. Number six, thankfulness keeps us from deception. And this is scriptural. 2 Timothy chapter 3 says that a characteristic of the last days is unthankful people. Are we not seeing that on a larger scale and larger scale today? Yes, we are. Romans 1 verse 21, and I chose this out of the New Living Translation because I just like how it said it. Says, yes, they knew God, but they wouldn't worship Him as God or even give Him thanks. And they begin to think up foolish ideas of what God was like. And as a result, their minds became dark and confused. What led them to that deception? Because they were unthankful. Wow. Thankfulness keeps us from deception. Just being thankful. Because you have to realize, God, and thankfulness is when you're a thankful person, you're a humble person. Because you realize you had nothing to do with it. And it's all about God. Now, I'm going to sum it all up in this, where I'm going to close with this. It says, one leper, let's think about this, guys. One out of the ten displayed total obedience by returning and giving the Lord thanks. Now, I want you to get this, and it doesn't come out and tell us this, but it's heavily implied. In so doing, he received total healing, spirit, soul, and body. His joy was complete. All we know about those other nine is that they were healed, but we don't know about their salvation. But whenever this one leper came back and gave thanks, Jesus said, your faith has made you well. And what that means in the Greek, that means sozo, and that means you're saved because you came back. So I want you to write this down, okay? Obedience, we just learned when we studied this in verse 14, obedience produced a miracle. Now I want to take this one step further. Thankfulness produced wholeness, spirit, soul, and body, being thankful. And guys, I hope you're getting the understanding that thankfulness is not just a feeling. It's not a feeling. It's not a feeling. It's really a command to be thankful. And that's why Jesus, you know, was telling the disciples earlier, and I know we've all, if you're living and breathing and you got family and you got a dysfunctional family like I do and you've got dysfunctional church family like I do, none of y'all here, by the way, no, there's going to be times where that offense is going to be there, that bait of Satan to trip you up. And you're going to have to make the choice, and it's a willful choice. It's not a feeling. It's a willful choice. I'm not taking that bait. And I choose to walk in forgiveness. I choose to walk in forgiveness. Don't take anything for granted, guys. Keep your heart clean, you know. Don't walk in forgiveness. I like how Pastor Robert Moore said this one time, and he said, keep your screen clean. And that just means keep the junk, because through the days you're going to get dirt and junk coming down, you know, all that kind of offense, all that. Every day get that under the blood and get it away from you and keep your screen clean. And everybody said, amen, and be thankful. All right, I want everybody to bow your heads in here, and I'm going to pray a prayer. This is Romans chapter 10, talks about salvation, and we do this every Sunday here at Harvest Fellowship Church. I want to give everybody that's watching, you may be at home right now watching this, and you've never done this. You've never confessed with your mouth the Lord Jesus. You never believed in your heart that God raised him from the dead. And then it says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So we want to be just like that one leper and make that full circle and come back and say thank you to Jesus. So I want you to repeat this prayer to me. This is a prayer of salvation, and this is going to help you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart, and then it says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Okay, I want you to repeat this prayer to me. Say, Lord Jesus, I need you in my life. I believe you are the Son of God, and you died on the cross for me and rose again on the third day. Please forgive me of my sins and create a clean heart in me. Renew my spirit so I can hear your voice. I accept you as my Savior. You are my Lord. Thank you for saving me. And everybody said, amen. All right, well, I'm going to speak a blessing over you today before we dismiss. I do want to say this. Happy Mother's Day. This is Mother's Day week. Next Sunday will be Mother's Day. And like I said, we're going to have Mother's Day all together on June the 21st on Father's Day. Kind of have Parents' Day that day and have a photo booth set up here. Can't wait for we're all back together on May the 17th is when we're all going to come back together. And looking forward to that. Dusty's going to be bringing the message next Sunday. So thank you, Dusty. Amen. But I want to speak this blessing over all of us, okay? Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious unto you, and may the Lord give you his peace. May the Lord bless your going out and your coming in today. May the Lord anoint you to fulfill the divine destiny that God has given to you. May everything that is brought against you be crushed by the protection that God himself shall provide. May you be blessed in your health. May you be blessed in your relationships. May your children and your children's children be blessed, because they are the heritage of the righteous. From this day forward, as you submit yourselves to the Christ of the cross, may your lives be filled with joy that is unspeakable and full of glory, and with peace that surpasses all understanding. May your home, as the Word of God says, be as the days of heaven on earth. In Jesus' name we pray and ask it. And everybody said, amen. God bless you.